Would you rather sit through?
Yeah.
Simpsons or Seinfeld?
No, it's not.
Okay. Options of random television shows.
Yeah.
At Backside Attack.
At VixAbe.
That you would have to, there we are.
Yeah.
That's it. That's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
We're both wearing a very like 80s era apparel today.
Actually, you know what? I just broke this t-shirt out. You know when I bought this t-shirt?
Where'd you buy that t-shirt? It's a great t-shirt.
2018.
You bought it in 2018 and you haven't worn it since.
I haven't worn it since.
At all or since?
Well, no, this is what, remember when I went to New York?
Right.
And I discovered Uniqlo? Yeah, and I bought tons of t-shirts from there, but like, it wasn't until now that I could actually fit into them, so.
Just today, I was reading an article about where would you wear your Uniqlo gear, and the only thing I could think of was like, fucking Backside Attack.
Yeah.
It was Uniqlo gear. He just wears all that Uniqlo.
Yeah, I think I bought 15 t-shirts. They were all like $15.
It is the right call though.
Yeah, it's a great.
Because like when you find a fit of something that you like, you should buy multiples immediately.
Yeah,
like,
and yeah, they have really cool designs. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I really like this one. So
I will say, like, I haven't. They have one here now, right?
Is
one in Edmonton?
There is one. Yeah, they have a big one in West Hampton Mall.
Big one in the mall now. I haven't been there yet, but I do trust your sense of like fit.
You should go there.
I should go check it out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Good thing about Uniqlo, the best thing about Uniqlo is the price.
Not a sponsor at all of this show. But
no,
if you want to give some free t-shirts, we'll
take it. But yeah, they're just it's inexpensive. It costs it's cheaper. It's cheaper than Bay.
Everything is cheaper than Bay.
Yeah.
And the quality is probably better.
Oh yeah, like the and they have everything there. They have pants, t-shirts, jackets, suit, blazer jackets. They have everything there for winter, everything.
That's pretty good.
I would highly recommend going there.
Highly recommend.
I think I recommend you going there like when it first opened.
You recommend it when it came back from that trip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what you should do is go online. And I think you sent me the website.
Yeah.
Like, they send to Canada, ship to Canada. It's great.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's amazing.
Yeah. But now, just go to West Hampton Mall and go there. It's
now right here.
It's so inexpensive.
In your own backyard.
Yeah.
Hey, so you had some things. What would I rather sit through? Would I rather sit through 10 seasons of The Simpsons? The first 10 seasons? The best 10 seasons?
Okay. So how would you do this? Your favorite 4 seasons of The Simpsons? Or watch the entire Batman the Animated Series?
Oh, The Simpsons.
The Simpsons?
I love Batman. I think the Animated Series it's amazing.
Yep.
It's so much fun to watch. But there is something about the that joyfulness of watching the first idiotic best seasons of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
It feels like four, like pick your 4 favorite seasons.
Yeah.
Or like pick, like, let's say 60 or 80 of your favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be way, way more.
Yeah, because the animated series was 4 seasons,
gleeful.
Right?
Batman? Yeah.
It was 4 seasons. Yeah.
I think it's 3 seasons, then the break for like 18 months.
Yeah.
Then it comes back for like a big run of,
okay.
Like they call it the new Batman Adventures. Batman and Robin, whatever it was.
Okay, so what about your best 4 seasons of Simpsons versus the best 4 seasons of Seinfeld? Or not, not best,
tough
but, too. But your favorite.
My favorite, like, let's just say an 80-episode run for each, right?
Yeah.
Or like 86, whatever the episode's
coming
to. I might have to go Seinfeld. Just because there's so much.
I
still get stuff from Seinfeld.
I think I would go Simpsons.
You go Simpsons?
Yeah.
The Simpsons had so many more great Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Like, just consistently, like, amazing Easter and references to pop culture that you go back to.
Yeah, I would put them on par, but, like, I guess maybe I've seen so much of Seinfeld. It's like, I'd like to go back and just revisit Simpsons.
You know, that's a good point, too. Like, I've watched, Seinfeld's always on.
It's always on Netflix.
It's always on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's on every channel all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Much the way Simpsons was in, like, the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Simpsons was not even oversaturated. You could not be oversaturated by how good that show was.
Yeah, there's, same time, it's like, I kind of miss the Seinfeld, but there was a reason why I got rid of Netflix, so, yeah.
There's not a lot of content.
There's nothing on Netflix anymore.
Right.
So
it's really not that great as it was. It wasn't. It is not the promise of what it would have been by now. I think like when we first got Netflix, like way back in the day, they're still mailing out discs. Like it was still a thing you could do.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could do it because I never bothered to look into it in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at that time that was still like 25%, maybe like 33% of their revenue was still discs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always this promise that you're going to have all this stuff. You're going to have so much great content coming your way. It's all amazing. But then like all these streamers came out. And by now you've got like, now everybody streams. Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, Apple. Like, what's all the fucking pluses?
I don't know.
Everybody's a plus, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I thought they'd be like Disflix or something by now. But no, it's all plus.
Yeah, you get Paramount, but you get, it's plus is like, oh, you get all this additional content.
But you have,
but you don't, but yet, but you're,
it's all the content.
Yeah, it's all content. Yeah.
Right. I mean, like you pay for the plus and you get all the content. It's not like there's like a Paramount ad supported.
Yeah. I think Netflix is turning into a place where like you watch what you want to watch it, just get rid of it. And then when it comes back next season or when that series is coming on next, then you binge that, then you get rid of it.
This is what I've been doing. Yeah. I get rid of one, then I get the Disney for a month or whatever, however long I have it. I watch whatever I want to watch, just cut it out. And I go back to Netflix, watch some sports documentaries. Because they do have, I feel like, better documentaries on Netflix.
They do. Disney Plus's documentaries aren't too bad either.
They're not bad, but I feel they're all stuff that you get from like Star or
YouTube.
Have like something there, right? Like there's another service that contributes to Disney.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna get rid of Disney Plus as well because I think I've bled through MASH as much as I can.
You've gone through all of it. A little side note. So today, just to kind of like make sure we stay on that track, this is episode 200.
Yes,
because we blew the sound on the last one. Then we had illness and work and children and our lives became chaotic.
Yeah.
And we kind of got swamped. So this now is the 200 that you as the listeners and the viewers, the folks at home know as 200. The rest of it is all getting chopped up. But so in that, I guess we're going to go back and do a little bit of like, we're going to talk about the first 200 episodes, how much fun we had. The friends we made, the fun we had,
belt that
friends
song,
that were lost,
belt that song right out there,
belt that song. It almost went like into a tune, like it the did. Voice crack yeah, almost exactly. turned into like a Disney
yeah,
style song.
Exactly, right? the friends we had.
So I mean, most I guess like, it's all about content.
Yeah,
this episode is going to be all about like the wild content that we've kind of had. And again, there's some fudging around with the numbers. Like this is our 200th episode.
Yeah,
everybody else was kind of like in the ether. Mm-hmm. There's more out there, but like this is our 200 episodes.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about that? What's the highlights of the first 200?
Ones that stuck out? Actually, going to Provincial was one of the big ones.
Always a good time.
Yeah, that was always a good time because when we took the podcast from here and we went to Provincial and they let us set up there and just talking to the waitresses, talking to the management, and then just hanging out there. Yeah, and just. And they were cool to like hang out and talk and, made the podcast so much fun.
It's always a fun time over there.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the previous version of Provincial, they've since changed hands and our friends are always really welcoming, man. They were.
Yeah. What's going on with them now?
Well, they're opening a new place. Word is, I don't know. That's what it sounds like, mm-hmm. but I don't know where it is or how far into the process they are.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably make sure we know more about that and then go there.
Go there.
Yeah. And, squeeze a little bit more fun times,
mm-hmm.
do some more fun stuff over there because they're always a fun bunch, man. And that place really felt like a real family.
Yeah.
So I really hope that if the ball's not already in motion, getting them a new location.
Yeah.
I really hope they are soon.
Yeah, I think that's was one of my most fun times doing it.
That was one of your highlights.
Yeah,
highlights of the first two. For my highlight is obviously you joining the show.
Oh, thanks.
That's a big one for me. That's why this is like to me an important episode. Why I wanted to make sure we did another one because I feel like you joining up kind of put us both in a different place as far as like becoming very comfortable doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It really raises us up to like we're not. Like, I'll talk in front of anybody, anywhere, anytime, anyway,
because mm-hmm.
that's always been kind of like a job, a version. Like, I've always had a version of that in my whatever career I did,
mm-hmm.
whether it's private investigation, security, whatever I was doing. I've got to talk to crowds sometimes. But this made me very, relaxed and just letting the expletives fly. Like, just saying whatever the hell I want, whenever I want.
Yeah.
Not being concerned about anybody else. Like, confidence and just like not worried about how people view me.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big fun part for me. And I'm watching that with you as well. Like you just from the first few episodes to now, like you just don't give a shit.
No, I think I can tell by when I was watching the, my earlier episodes, especially the first one,
mm-hmm.
first three, I would say I just went through them I was listening to the other day while I was making music is that, I really, really talked so fast. Maybe I still do. But I was like, and I have that. I know people tell me that clients, workers, everyone, coworkers, they say like, yeah, you talk really fast. Right. And so, I think what this show did was like, actually like just really like when you're making a point to just slow it down.
Yep.
And just do it that way. So that's one thing I noticed, especially in the first episode, I was listening to it. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like Conan watching his first episode for the first time and being like, you could see how nervous he was and stuff like that. It was like,
oh my God.
Yeah. I'm like, oh man, I think I know how he felt.
I think we do. I think there are times now that we understand, like when you go back and watch like the first Conan or even like this week, Leno was talking about when he had, who's a little nerd who picked up the hooker? Hugh Grant. Like, you look way back then. Now, they were clearly already professionals, mm-hmm. but you look at them then compared to what they were when they left the air or who they are now, and they're just, like, they're so much tighter as presenters.
Yeah, because, yeah, exactly.
Ferguson's first show compared to his last show.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, you just fall into a groove. You're just like, you know what? It's the fear that I think that we're trying to get the friends on the show.
Right.
They were like, how do you guys do that? How do you guys just, it just comes naturally. We're like, no, it's just having the conversation.
Yep.
You're talking to a camera and you're just talking about stuff that you're interested in.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
That's all we do.
So when you're in that mindset, when the camera's on and then everything's recording, mm-hmm. you can just fall into it. You can just go into it seamlessly.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the first, like, if you go back to the first episode of us, it's wild how boring we were. Like, I think I mentioned it on the last time we did this, but it sounded so much like Ira Glass
in NPR. Yeah. NPR.
Yeah.
It was very Ira Glass is a good one. Yeah.
This is the Barely Safe for Work podcast.
Yeah.
And I am your host.
Yeah, I think we were just trying not to offend people who we weren't even noticing who were listening.
Right.
Rather than just trying to like entertain ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think we had 13 or 14 listeners at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, not the thousands that we think. I'm pretty us download show that. I don't know if you're listening, but you're at least picking them up. But now it's like, even though we have more people listening, I do not care if my viewpoint is loved or hated.
No.
I just say what I think, and then you listen to it. If you don't like it, you're not commenting. We get a couple of DMs every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're pretty non-controversial, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think you don't have to, like, say what's on your mind and trying to be, confrontational.
Right.
That's just a viewpoint.
Right.
Yeah, so you can't boo my opinion.
No. Boo earns. Yeah. But we were definitely more concerned that people would take us the wrong way early on.
Yeah, like, how's that going to be received?
Right.
So how do I come off?
Yeah.
Stuff like that, right? So it's just like, you know, how vain are you? Just say whatever you want.
The vanity went out the window. Humility and, I mean...
Yeah.
When you watched the first...
I have no ego to bruise on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's a great way to put it. We have no ego to bruise, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you look back... The first like video ones that we did way back when,
yeah,
and you watch them now because they're on the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember at all? Because I do. Do you remember being self-conscious about how you looked on camera?
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're now not.
Yeah, look at me now.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not saying that you're. I came across like the most backhanded compliment, mm-hmm. but you clearly don't give a shit how you look. I mean, look at you bum.
Yeah.
No, but like I don't at all. Like, at first, it's kind of like, oh, I mean, is that what I look like? Is that my face? Is that how I sound?
I think I can count on this hand, the costumes I wore on the podcast.
Oh, your uniform.
Yeah, my uniform, basically. I either wore the same gray hoodie.
Right.
I had a dark blue cardigan, and then...
Oh, the cardigan was
yeah, old school. That's it.
That's when you still had like you had like a business casual thing. You
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and yeah. So I wore that, or just wore another hoodie
for sure.
Yeah, or just a t-shirt like that. I wore like five different outfits.
I never had like a huge cycle of things I wore. This Star Wars shirt has made the rounds. Now I'm wearing it for a reason that we'll get into later in the show.
And the Atari shirt as well.
My Atari shirt mm-hmm. has made the rounds a bunch of times. I mean, there are certain things that's what I wear a lot. Mm-hmm. I've got five of those. I've got like two or three of these.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm not here to like change the what's it called? What's that word? When you're changing the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
What's the version of zeitgeist for when you're changing fashion sense in the world?
Oh,
because zeitgeist is just like the general thought of the...
That's the general thought.
The temperature, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The general thought is a zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. What is it when you're changing like the way things look? I'm no fashion icon. I'm like a caterpillar in a world of butterflies, man.
Yeah.
I'm not, and I'm the one that's probably going to get eaten before it gets to turn into anything remotely attractive. that's who I've always been.
I think the, and also is that you can see the format changes. So like we went from, the table where it's just like a couple of guys talking
mm-hmm.
and then where it's like, where it was just me and you, or we would have like more of like, it was more of a debate style podcast. Where we would just talk about ideas, and then there was some criticism going back and forth, which was good. I thought it was fun.
Do we not do that anymore?
Well, in the table, but when you're facing face to face and you're sitting in a chair,
right,
and you're looking at each other, right? The just that setting alone creates a different dynamic.
Right.
Yeah. So
we did talk about that last time too. There is more of a who's that? Not Lipin, the other guy. The guy who ended up like touching all the chicks. Who's they all did. The table. They go sit there and he was a 60 Minutes guy later on in his career.
Oh,
like
yeah. Gaunt. Yeah. I can't remember.
He's got a five head.
Yeah, I can't remember his name though.
But they would sit at the table and bring somebody in, they sit there and they talk. Charlie Rose. They sit there and talk about like from the table and be like, oh, so
I'm like, he's PBS. I'm like, I know who that is.
Right? Yeah. That guy. Yeah. So we would, I mean, and it is a pretty round table.
It is.
So
it
kind of had that look to it.
Yeah, I think but the round table is was good for, I think the less people the better.
Right.
Because it's just one person, just two people just having a conversation back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah, and then we moved to outdoors.
The outside stuff was really fun.
Yeah. And then we just kept doing it. We're just standing in front of the camera, and which is what we're doing now.
Right. The outdoors is like a version of this. We should do some more of that this year. Summer is nice.
Yeah. It's like today is like,
it's beautiful out there.
Plus 29 outside.
That's not like a fancy,
that's not
like
the light
that I've got shooting through the window. Like all the filmmakers do.
Plus 29. Man.
I know, man. Yeah. It was warm today. I mean, we've had a really wild start to summer.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. You're done with it. You finished your, well, you had a big ride today.
Yeah, it was, 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, drink your water. And before we get into your big ride, let's stay on the 200 episode thing. Fun stuff that we did.
Mm-hmm.
We did a few things that we talked about here. And I think the one that you want to do again that I've already got the ball rolling on is the rations.
Yeah, rations. Yeah.
So we would try to do things before. We haven't done them in a while. Where it's like, we'll just get a loot crate. And you didn't, unfortunately, you weren't here all the time for those.
So I never did, yeah.
Loot crate was fun because four of us pitched in and then we just got a box. And sometimes you get garbage, like a keychain or whatever. And sometimes you get cool stuff, like a replica Action Comics.
Mm-hmm.
We got books, but there's always a t-shirt involved,
mm-hmm.
which is where a lot of those t-shirts came from.
Yeah.
But the one thing that you did get to do, and you've always wanted to do it again, and we're going to do it again, is the military rations.
Yeah.
Just the high sodium, high protein, gut bomb military rations.
Yeah, I think I'll do it when I after a bike ride. I'll come in here and I won't eat anything.
Right,
and we'll just gouge on that.
Just
stuff.
Be super hungry. Yeah. We'll do an outdoor episode because you have to have the flameless heater.
Yeah,
we'll just cook them right there outside, mm-hmm. like a little army ration barbecue,
mm-hmm.
and we'll eat some more of that stuff. But those are fun, man.
Those are fun. Yeah,
those were all. They were better every time. Better than I expected.
Yeah,
you had the beef stroganoff, I think.
I had the beef, yeah.
I had some kind of like a chicken pasta.
You had pasta. I remember because I had the beef because like I remember it like not being that's I was expecting it to be really stringy,
right?
But it was actually fully cooked, which was really great.
So. And it was like yours didn't bung you up either.
No, when I went home, I lost like 20 pounds.
Oh, well, okay, no, because you took the gum.
I took the gum.
You took the gum. That's right.
Yeah,
when you showed me the gum,
I just took it. I put it in my pocket. I'm like, when I go home, well, on my way home, I'm seeing like as soon as I got to the garage, I took it. And then,
the gum is a laxative, by the way.
Yeah. And I just took it and I literally emptied out completely.
I took
another shower right afterwards.
Well, at that point you didn't have a bidet, so you kind of had to.
Yeah. I had to.
You've got to get in there and just like top to bottom, just crank the water on, get all that beef stroganoff to sweat out of your system.
Oh yeah. I took what's it called? After I went to the washroom, I took a,
just like turn around in the shower. Yeah, just like present.
Yeah. I took a wet towel. I took some paper towel and I just wet it with alcohol wipe. And I just went, I cleaned myself just to make sure I went in there and just took a shower for like an hour.
Man. See, like episode one, Backside Attack probably wouldn't have told you that story. Episode 200, Backside Attack is like, I cleaned myself in the shower with a rag on a stick because I smelled like beef stroganoff.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Man, it was coming out of my pores.
The whole purpose of that stuff is to keep you not dead in the middle of like a war zone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when you can't get, not necessarily in the middle of a war zone, but you're out there, you're a military guy, you're doing things that you do in other countries, whatever they are, you know?
Yep.
And you've got to have these food supplies sometimes.
Yeah, because you can order them on Amazon, right?
Yeah, well, that's where we're getting them from.
Yeah.
We got a pack of 12 coming in.
Yep.
And those...
Oh, did you buy them already?
They're coming.
Oh, you know, why'd you tell me? I would have bought them.
Oh, that's all right. They're on route. Mm-hmm. So once those get in, we'll just try maybe like two every month. Like we'll just we'll get a year's worth. Where every maybe like the last podcast of the month, every month we'll just do a military ration.
Okay.
I don't know how great they're gonna be, but they'll be something.
Yep.
I kind of hope they're borderline awful. It's always more fun when they're not great.
Yeah, because when you're eating them, like you're just like sometimes you're eating stuff and it's like. especially the cornbread and stuff like that, when it's really sweet, you're just sitting there, you're right. when you start eating with your mouth open, you're like, this is not good.
Well, when you're trying to get something else other than the food in your mouth.
Yeah.
Like the air.
The air, yeah.
And then you just activate.
Yeah, because remember, like, some of that stuff was, like, just really sweet, or it was just, like, it was just air.
It was wonderful.
I'm like, this is, like, this doesn't taste like anything. But it's just
salt and air.
Yeah, it's just calories. That's all it is. You just want to get that in there so you could, like...
And that's exactly it. You're in survival mode, or, you know, you don't know when your next real good meal is going to come. So you have to have this stuff in your gut to keep it going, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like Lembas bread for those... The loader! Yeah. My Lord of the Rings fans.
Yeah.
Favorite episodes. What was the one... I know which one you're going to go to.
Favorite episodes?
What was the one that you enjoyed that like, maybe was a little bit more of a karate punch? A karate punch episode.
Oh shit, I don't know.
I think there was one in particular.
There was the one that stood out. Our simulation theory episode was good.
That was a good one.
What
about the one with a certain actor fighting zombies?
Oh, Mel Gibson one was
good. Yeah, Mel Gibson one.
Yeah.
It was a good episode. We had a conversation about whether or not Mel Gibson was or was not a racist.
Yeah.
Were his actions at the time, because this is just after I think he had his second rant.
Yeah.
The first rant was a few years ago. He was trying to make a comeback and things were good. And then the day before we talked about it, the day before you guys came on, he had another rant.
Yeah.
And you went full tilt and you were like, that's it. This guy.
How would you call it a rant? He had a meltdown.
He had a meltdown.
Yeah.
He had a straight up meltdown about, you know, screw this and screw that and a person there and this person here. And the whole country's run by these people and the N words, the J words. And it was like, all right, Mel, so tell us how you really feel. And then the argument we were trying to make is, was he or was he not a racist?
Yeah. It's like I don't know him personally, but I can only define him by what I see.
The presentation.
And the presentation and the evidence that's been given to me. Right.
Right.
So if I had said that in a public forum or by outside, started yelling that stuff, mm-hmm. what's the first thing people would say? Arrest that racist.
Yeah, so. I think definitely he's got demons. 100% he's got demons. 100% he probably at that time was drinking or high or whatever he was doing.
Okay, so yeah. Okay, let's stop there for a second.
Okay.
Okay, so if you have demons, that's fine, okay?
Right.
We all have demons, right? Okay, so if you have to get that energy out.
Exercise?
Yeah, so if you get that energy out, right? It's like, you know, you have demons. Like, yeah, I'm dealing with this stuff here. Everyone has problems, okay?
Right.
Problem, okay? Now,
I eat way too much chocolate.
Okay, so there you go. How do you lash out about that?
When I eat, I don't know, if anybody tells me I'm eating way too much chocolate,
what do you do?
I'm a mind your own business motherfucker kind of guy.
Okay, but dude, let's see if it was a black person telling you that. Would you call him the N-word?
No, I'd probably say mind your own business motherfucker.
Okay, there you go. Good enough, okay? So, yeah. So you're not a racist, okay?
I mean, no, he's a human to me telling me not to ingest the one thing that I'm probably like inclined to ingest the most of.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so like, but if your first tendency is when you're having a meltdown,
right,
is to like, say all these racist things about someone.
Right.
That is inherent hatred inside yourself. I believe so anyway. So
I don't think you're wrong.
No.
I'm not, my biggest flaw is I always try to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. And almost every time it bites me in the ass.
Don't live that way.
No, I don't much, but I'm one of those guys. And then on top of that, once I give you the benefit of the doubt, and you prove me wrong. Like, I'm like, no, he's a good person. He just had some issues. I give you the rope, and then you hang yourself with it. And everybody's like, he hung himself. I'm like, yeah, he sure did.
Yeah.
He sure did. I should have seen it coming.
But yes,
everybody told me to.
Yeah, because I think the reason why some people will say, like, he's not a racist, be like, how can you make a movie with Danny, with Mr. Glover, and consider yourself a racist, and then afterwards have all this stuff here,
mm-hmm.
and to go through all that stuff, but still, you can't be a racist if you made Lethal Weapon.
I think you can be.
I think you can be, for sure.
I think you can. I think there's degrees. Okay, did you ever see last year? And Gillian Keeves, you guys got to do more stuff. So everybody knows the Shane Gillis thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shane Gillis, SNL, gets hired. Then he does the podcast where he talks about Chinese people. And it seems like he's saying like very racially motivated stuff. Mm-hmm. If you preface it before you get into it.
Yeah.
But then you look at it again and you think about it. And you think about, like, for us, we've met a lot of racist people. I can sniff a racist out pretty easily.
Yep.
Like you said, the presentation to me didn't seem that bad. Anyway, having said all that stuff, there's the football sketch, mm-hmm. where he plays the Alabama coach, mm-hmm. and they're going to integrate the schools. And he's like, there will not be a black player on my team. This is a white team for white people. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, they get destroyed because everybody's integrated.
Yeah.
So the black teams are destroying his school. So they bring in one guy. Mm-hmm. Like, they bring one black guy in to quarterback the team. Mm-hmm. And they start winning. Mm-hmm. And they bring in another guy, and they start crushing these other teams. And they bring in an entire team, and suddenly he's wearing a dashiki. He's mm-hmm. got, like, the Africa hat on.
Oh, yeah.
And he's straight up, brother, he's telling me, like, these guys just talk like this all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hang around with only black. I love black people. But him, that character he's portraying, by the end, he hasn't learned how to, like, he's not racist. Mm-hmm. He's not, quote-unquote, anti-racist.
Yeah.
He's just a guy who's aligned himself with black people. And now it's trying to present himself
yeah.
as not a racist. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's not understanding it. There's nothing that he's doing to make the team better. Mm-hmm. He's getting all the accolades. When they give him, like, the Martin Luther King Award, he accepts it as if he did something. It's like, no, you're a bystander. And now you're just, like, rewriting history mm-hmm. to make yourself look better.
Yeah.
Just because you're, like, you're telling people to be cool black people.
Yeah.
I think that guy is basically the Mel Gibson
yeah, persona. Yeah, that's fair to say.
You know, it's like... Mm-hmm. You've done all this stuff and you think all these things mm-hmm. and you're presenting to the world that, like, I was never a racist. I did a movie with Danny Glover. I'm not racist. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, but you can still think, like, the Mr. Burns thing that, like, you know, he's doing well despite the fact that he's a godless African mm-hmm. with, like, a simple brain and, like, no ability to create real technology. It's like, no, black guys can be scientists just like yep. you. Mm-hmm. Like, they can be significantly smarter than all the white people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just because he's black doesn't mean he's dumber than you. It means his opportunities weren't there.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, that's who I think Mel Gibson is to me.
Yeah.
It's like, he's like, look at him, despite being like a black guy who grew up in Africa, mm-hmm. still can read and write and walk and talk. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, that, you're still a racist if you think like that.
Yeah.
If that's your thought process, you're kind of a racist.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, yeah, that one was pretty, I didn't understand the argument from the other side. I didn't understand it. I'm just like, that argument makes no sense.
Yeah, I understand it because you've created an identity for yourself, yeah. like your love for this person.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, you can separate the art from the artist. I still think Lethal Weapon is great.
Yeah.
I think Lethal Weapon's a fun movie to watch.
Great movie.
Lethal Weapon 2 is really good. Mm-hmm. Am I looking at it with a different lens? Like, every time I see him walking around, I'm like, yeah, maybe. I wonder what he said that day on set.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what his words were on set that day.
Yeah.
But that was a fun episode. Mm-hmm. What else do we have? We had some mini casts. We had old, I guess, co-hosts.
Yeah.
I guess I missed that. That's something like things you miss. Things we don't do anymore.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, there was like some other, like, especially your friends who would come on.
Our friends?
Well, but they were your friends to begin with.
Or, yeah.
No,
yeah.
They are your friends.
They started as my friends.
They're acquaintances before. Of mine.
Yeah.
But through the show. But yeah, there's, it's kind of like, you know, they're not on anymore.
Not anymore. And they were a great bunch of guys who I still see all the time. They're just not here anymore.
Yeah, you know, life gets in the way.
Life gets in the way.
Yep.
I think that's one of those things that I kind of say to give people an out.
Yeah.
A lot of times, life gets in the way. Life finds a way.
Yeah. There's I remember, like, one time we were thinking about doing another podcast, and we recorded one at the Edmonton Public Library with myself and Waleed. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Sandy's old office, and remember we had the dry board, and we were doing all the planning, like, how to do our own podcast.
When I came with you guys.
Yeah. There was that. Never came to fruition.
And, you know, those guys are welcome to come here. Like, it's all, like, you know, I'm always happy to have those guys show up and
record. Yeah, because some guys record. Yeah, there's some guys who are, I don't think anyone would be any worse than anybody else.
No,
not I think, not I think it would just be fun.
I think it would be fun. And at this point, we carry so much more of it mm-hmm. that we can always steer the conversation to somewhere fun. Like, I mean... We're always either keeping things in the back of our head,
yeah.
or we have, like, notes that we can always kind of, like, you know, glance over to when mm-hmm. when the conversation gets a little bit dead and be like, mm-hmm. yeah, remember that time that, like, you know, Magneto killed Wolverine? Like, there's always something we can jump into, right? Mm-hmm. And that carries us somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But, I do miss that we don't have the gang always around anymore.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Also, like, it's, you've got families, you've got work, you've got all the stuff. We don't have kids. Like, mm-hmm. I've got my friends' kids.
Yeah.
My buddy Brett, who's like my brother, and his kids are like my nieces and nephews. I take care of them, but I don't have them here 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. They show up, they're here for the weekend, and then we're doing this. You don't have any kids, so you just got a job. I've got a few jobs. So we have ways to make this work for us that works.
Yeah.
I can understand when you say, I've got kids. I totally get it.
Yep.
Kids are full-time. And like, you know, work that stresses you out. A lot of people have got stressors, man. A lot of people have stressors that just blow your brain out the back of your head.
Yep.
A metaphorical brain pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shoot yourself. Call for help if you need it.
Yeah, there's a... Yeah, on that, yeah, I think... nothing but good memories from the podcast, though.
Nothing but good memories, man. Mm-hmm. I think we had a good first 200 episodes. Mm-hmm. I think we hit all the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to just flip the page at our 31-minute mark?
Let's do it.
And then go on to what this week... What was fun in this week? Or what... That didn't even... Didn't even really, like,
yep. Yep.
Turn into a thing.
No.
Hey, so here's a question. How evolved are humans really?
How evolved?
Yes. If you think of what we are now compared to what we were, let's say, 500,000 years ago, take technology out of the equation entirely. Take surgery, doctors, lawyers, take all that stuff out of the equation from us right now. How evolved are we really? If you took, I would love to talk to somebody much smarter than me about this. If you took all the stuff that that's we do
me.
Now.
That's not me. No.
Well, it's not either of us. Mm-hmm. I'm much dumber than I act. If you took all of the stuff that we have now, in the world we're in now, and just take it back or transport those people here, how long do you think it'll take for somebody from 10,000 years ago, 500,000 years ago, which is essentially the same thing as what we are, put them here, how long before they just become a dumb schlub crossing the road while they're texting?
That's a hard question to answer.
Like, how, like, are we that different now than what we were back then?
Yes, we were.
We were different?
Yeah, I think so.
How, like, but how different? Because I was thinking the other day, this is a weird place this came from.
I think mentally, I think our mental capability
right.
has grown since 500,000 years ago.
500,000, like,
I think so.
Okay, let's do this. The fire, cooked food. Okay. Since cooked food, how different are we? Because that's kind of the big marker, right? We start cooking our food, our brains get bigger, our bones get stronger, like we become faster,
better. What about the capacity to learn?
I don't think we're any different now than the day the first, let's just say two generations out from cooked food, where like all of a sudden the brains get bigger and the children are taller and stronger and more capable. From whatever that was, maybe like 24,000, no, we think now they think it's 70,000 years ago, right? 70,000 years ago, there's evidence of cooked food.
Okay.
From whatever that became the norm, I think we are the exact same thing. And I think you could manipulate that person into becoming a moron, like almost in a month.
Oh, yeah, that'd agree with you. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're no different.
Yeah. No. I don't think there's a big difference. I think there's definitely, if I was talking to Sam Harris, he would tear that argument apart. But
yeah, probably.
Just the cognitive ability for people at that time.
Mm-hmm.
If they were able to cook, create fire, hunt, gather, procreate,
shelter,
survive against the elements,
animals,
yeah.
predators,
yeah, you know, manage livestock,
manage natural resources,
yeah. So if they could do that, if they could do that, 20,000 years ago,
right.
What you're looking at is farmers,
essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just looking at people who lived off the land.
Yeah.
Like, my whole concept comes from this, like this idea that we're so intelligent now compared to what we were back then.
I think
we're so much better now.
I think there's, it's also, I think it's intelligent is one way to say it. It's also about what we have achieved.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I totally get that. Like, what we've done. Right. But that's just time.
Yeah,
that's just like length.
But yeah, that's just like if you're given like a progress, like a scale of progress.
Mm-hmm.
So if you gave it like 10,000 years, 20,000 years, right?
Right.
So in that time frame, how we actually is the curve like this? So is the curve like this, or is it like has it been like this?
I feel like it's actually just been a plateau.
Plateau.
I think as far as humans go, what we are now is the same thing we were then. Like, there's no difference there. I think the actual style of education might have changed for better or worse. Who knows? We don't know. I am one of those people who believes that there was a great civilization before we know it. Because I think, like, you know, meteors, the ice age, whatever happens, loss of time, Library of Alexandria, whatever it was, we lost information.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe even 24,000 years ago, 500,000 years ago, there were civilizations out there that were advanced. Now, I don't know how advanced. but I think advanced enough to where they could have been wiped off the planet. I mean, when you think of the way glaciers move across the planet, it's like sandpaper on plaster. It just rips it into dust, man.
Yeah, I was watching a documentary on how the just the breaking of glaciers and how mm-hmm. how people were able to cross, and how civilizations were started because the Nords were able to come in to North America and settle there because they had corridors. They had ways to get here. Yeah, which is crazy.
Yep. It's amazing, right? Mm-hmm. But those ways to get here also could destroy any evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Previous civilizations.
Exactly. Right? Like, how did you get here?
Right. How did you get here? Mm-hmm. And previous advanced civilizations can be wiped off the face of the earth. You leave a car out in the middle of the woods. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you leave a car from today out in the middle of the woods and you go back there in 20 years from now, that thing is barely, because it's going to get reclaimed by the earth so fast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that happens. I mean, the whole idea of these like cobalt mines, I've said this over and over again. Mm-hmm. The idea of like a cobalt mine could be evidence of either a dumping ground or evidence was like a highly technological civilization.
Yeah.
Why is all of that there, right? Mm-hmm. It could have been another civilization that used the same things that we use and just kaboom, man.
Yeah.
Asteroid impact.
Do you know there's actually more cobalt in your mobile phone than mm-hmm. there is in a Tesla?
I'd believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that crazy? Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah. So I can't imagine where, I mean,
I think
where also, would it be in the Tesla?
Yeah. And also Apple's actually going to go through the new phones moving forward. All the rare earth minerals that are going to go into the phones mm-hmm. are all recycled.
That's what they tell you.
Yeah. So yeah.
I feel like that's a gigantic lie.
That's the truth, man.
I feel like it's a gigantic lie. I think there's...
It's based on my YouTube freaking Wikipedia research. It's got to be true.
Nobody ever edits Wikipedia.
Yeah.
That's only scientists. Yeah. And people on YouTube...
It's
got to
be true.
It's got to be true.
Yeah.
People on YouTube know everything.
Yeah.
They're super smart. That's my viewpoint. I was just thinking about the whole thing with evolution. For me, that was like a big, like, it really stuck in my craw, as they say. It stuck in my craw.
Yeah.
I had to talk about it.
Yeah. And Cleopatra was black.
Yeah, so was Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, nobody talks about the brown skin on Jesus.
Oh,
let me tell you something. The Italians rolled up with Renaissance art, and they were all kind of light-skinned, and they made representations that looked like them because they didn't know any better, and it stuck. That's it.
Yeah, that's
it. That's why you got white Jesus and white God.
Yeah, that Jada Pinkett Smith Cleopatra show is just getting bombed.
Don't know anything about it.
You don't know anything about it?
I don't. Well, no, I mean, I don't know what's going on with that. I've seen the things like Cleopatra and she's got like a thing with the hair.
She's black and everything. They're like, yeah, it's so stupid.
It's true though, man. Cleopatra was black.
No, she wasn't.
Cleopatra was black. She was definitely like straight haired, but like black, dark skin. Cleopatra was not a white lady.
But she was not a black as we define black.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if she was definitely darker than what they even think she was. She wasn't. What's her name from the old 60s movie there? The one who Sean Connery's
going to get all snacks. What's her name?
Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor.
She
definitely wasn't Elizabeth
that's
Taylor.
That's Cleopatra.
Yeah. Helen Mirren. That's definitely not Cleopatra. I'll tell
you what. I still haven't seen that Cleopatra movie yet.
It's old, man. It's fine.
Yeah.
I
think it's a classic you have to watch.
It like, looks better than what you think it's going to look like, and you're right. It is a classic you have to watch. But I'll tell you this much. You shave your head and your beard and put on some makeup and get long hair on you, mm-hmm. you're more Cleopatra. You are probably lighter than Cleopatra and probably look more accurate than Mirren
That was a role that they had to like. That's a movie they had to make
For sure.
Yeah,
I mean they had to cast that with a white. Yeah. What black actress were they gonna get
mm-hmm.
back then to play Cleopatra?
Yeah, not even Sidney Poitier's like mother.
I'm not even gonna put my hands on this. what's her name? The lady who got the Oscar for playing the slave in the Gone with the Wind. She was like the only black actress that anybody really like knew or cared about back mm-hmm. then. You wouldn't get like blaxploitation for another 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they weren't looking for it. That's where this whole Little Mermaid thing really like sticks up my ass too. This thing where you're like, oh, it's like we're going to review bomb it because she's black and that can't. Look, man, what about all the little kids who just look at the Little Mermaid and put on a costume and then all the other kids like, you're not white enough to play Little Mermaid. You can't be a Little Mermaid for Halloween because you're black. It's like, get out of here. So make the movie. Who gives a shit? My whole point is that all these people who go out there and talk shit about like you can't have a black Little Mermaid. Well, you know, all the voice in Lion King were white.
Yeah,
Lion King was blackface.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, I'll say this. You can have a black Little Mermaid. That's fine, right? But make a good Little Mermaid movie.
Yeah, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
Just like
I don't give a shit what color she is. I didn't give a shit what color she was in the original.
Right. It didn't matter. Like, yeah. If you've got a black Little Mermaid, it's great, but I gotta tell you this much. That movie looks dour. Like, I mean, remember the original Little Mermaid? Mm-hmm. It's bright and colorful when she's underwater doing all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
This one looks really... It looks dark, man.
She's in the depths of, like, the Marianas Trench, basically.
It looks like Aquaman when they went into the Marianas Trench.
Yeah, so, like, yeah. I don't... the movie, like... It did okay in its first weekend, but I think it's not going to have the legs.
Avatar is all underwater, number two.
Yeah, and it's
bright, it's cheery,
but it's like it's pretty. It's literally filmed underwater.
Right.
Yeah, and so they didn't have to go really deep.
It's hitting your legs, man. stop punching yourself.
Yeah, but that was filmed literally underwater with special cameras. This movie was like when she's talking underwater, there's no bubbles coming out of her mouth. There's like it's not like
not just that, but like it doesn't look.
Natural.
Fun.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't look fun.
It doesn't capture the imagination that the original did. Okay, even though it was kind of shot for shot, this the frame for frame the same thing.
Yeah, I get it. But even, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, it doesn't capture, like, the fun and the joy of the first one.
No.
Like, this one just looks really just, like, very, like, gray and dark and, like, deep-hued Marianas Trench, the fish, the friggin' light overhead.
So, let's recap. So, they can't do any more of these. Well, they could if they wanted to, but they're just going to lose money on them. So they can't remake any of these, their cartoons from their legacy cartoons into live action movies because they're just bombing left and right, except for Aladdin. But like, right. That's far gone now.
Aladdin's gone.
They're making
You're not getting a return of Jafar.
They're making the new one of Mufasa. That's coming out.
What? Like a prequel? Wait, what?
A sequel. Yeah, they're making that one.
So is it, okay, hold on. Is he alive?
Or is this like... I'm not sure. I think it might be a prequel or it might be a sequel. I'm not too sure. But I know it's called Mufasa. And
rise to power.
Okay, so Star Wars is dead.
I think so.
Star Wars is dead.
I think the TV shows are going to come out.
Yep.
That's it.
Marvel is almost dead.
Marvel is, it's gasping. It's got a gaping open chest wound.
Yeah, and Indiana Jones is dead.
Indiana Jones, man, it looks like, it doesn't look good.
Do you know how much they spent on that movie?
It's like 200 something.
It's 300. It's 300 million. So that means that movie has to turn up. To break even, that movie has to make $800 million.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's never going to happen.
Like, why would you do that?
Who asked for this movie?
That's the thing. Like, I don't need another Indiana Jones movie. I didn't need The Crystal Skull. Yeah, did I tell you I finally watched that?
Mm-hmm.
Crystal Skull, I watched it. Aside from a couple of really bad sequences, like the rope swing sequence.
Yeah.
And like a little, I don't hate Shia LaBeouf. I've never hate for that guy. I know he gets a lot of grief and he does a lot of dumb shit.
That guy has problems.
He's got problems, yeah. But I'm not putting him in the same category as Mel Gibson.
Mm.
Yeah. Callback. But I enjoyed it for the most part. It's got a lot of issues, but for the most part, I didn't hate it, but I didn't need it. Nobody's asking for Crystal Skull.
No, I think it's just because I think my whole viewpoint of Disney Indiana Jones is that
traffic out there
is that it should be all practical. There should be no CGI. I don't want CGI in my Indiana Jones movie. They're shot in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
They take place in the 40s. And they should. It's all stuntmen and practical effects.
Right.
And that's it. Miniatures. That's it. And it was. Lightning in a bottle, especially the Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade.
From Raiders and Last Crusade, like Temple of Doom, I love Temple of Doom.
I love Temple of Doom.
I love Temple of Doom. Yeah. You look at Raiders.
I've learned to love it.
I grew up loving it. I never had any issues with it. I know like people kind of have like, well, it's a racist movie. The monkey.
It's brain. Totally racist. Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Who cares, man? Yeah. I mean, like
we were all racist in the 80s.
Everybody had issues
in
the 80s,
and no one got their feelings hurt in the 80s.
I'll tell you what, it wasn't so much it was racist in the 80s. That movie was racist for being made in the 80s. It just took a lot of liberties and told a crappy version of like a weird culty story.
Yeah.
Like it just told a crappier version of what could have been a better story.
Yeah. It had great action. Indiana Jones was hilarious in it.
But what I'm saying is like the effects didn't change from the first to the third movie.
No.
They had that Harryhausen kind of like faces melting, ghosts flying in the first one.
Yep.
They had the faces melting
mm-hmm.
in the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, you pulled a heart out of a chest, which is a practical effect as well.
Yeah. I remember like one of my friends does that to his daughter all the time. Kali Ma.
Let's do the Kali Ma.
Not the Kali Ma. You just do that. And like that sets the kids straight. Like, if they're saying anything, like, do you want the Kali Ma? They just go right into your chest. Right like chest. And they're like, okay, I won't do that anymore.
Dig in deep.
Yeah. Okay, I'll eat my dinner.
Especially if you hold her back and really get the nails in there.
Yeah.
Really,
you want the Kali Ma?
That'll mess your kid up. No, but you're right. I mean, there's like nobody's asking for a lot of these things. No, I dropped the MCU, I think, right after Endgame. That was it. Kind of didn't go back. Curious about certain things, watch those, but I'm not invested at all.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars, So, okay, so reason with the Star Wars thing here. I'm going to start going through chronologically in order all the Star Wars movies and just do my own little, like a little recap, a little video recap.
Okay.
Either just like that?
Just like that.
Are you going to watch them? You don't have Disney anymore.
No, I'm going to hear your recap.
Well, not right now.
Okay.
But I'm going to start doing those. I'm going to start doing a little video segment.
I thought you were going to like do it right now.
No. Okay. A new video segment. I'm going to go through them all beginning to end. I'm going to look at them without the I guess the anti-Star Wars rhetoric that we always kind of had since episode one.
Mm-hmm.
That down with George Lucas. I never hated those movies. I didn't love them. I never hated them. But I feel like I had a lot of outside influence where real fans, quote unquote, were always shitting on them or bashing on them. I went back and started watching Clone Wars again, and I really enjoy it. So I went back and started watching clips of the other movies on the YouTube there, and I don't have any like rage towards them at all. So I'm going to give it an honest shot and start watching them and maybe do this like rear view review thing we've been doing and do it just for me, just for Star Wars. Put that on this channel here and just kind of give an honest look at Star Wars.
I think my whole viewpoint on certain like franchises or certain movies, and I'm like, why are you making that? Is that like, why are you making it again? Or why are you attempting it again?
Willow.
It failed last time. Willow's a good example. It's just that I want them to be good.
I really do.
But I'm never, ever, it never happens.
Like, you know why, don't you?
Oh yeah, for sure. There's
because you either die a Jedi or you live long enough to see yourself become a Sith.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. There's another Terminator movie in development.
Nobody wants it. Nobody's asking for it. The problem is you've got these franchises and you want to make money.
You know who's writing it?
Does it matter?
James Cameron.
It'll be awful.
It'll be awful.
It'll be absolutely horseshit. Like James Cameron, James Cameron, you, man, ever since when you told me how great Terminator 3 was going to be and it was okay. Like, it wasn't great. It was okay. And you talked it up like it was going to be better than the second one that you made. And it was just okay. If they had just said, here's a movie, and just kept their mouth shut, I probably wouldn't be so annoyed by number 3. Because it's not that bad.
Number 3 is actually... I like number 3.
It is not that bad.
No, not at all.
And then the second one came out. Or the second sequel after that, whatever it was.
Christian Bale?
The Christian Bale one.
Yeah.
And then everybody kind of crapped all over it. Everybody was like a part of Terminator.
That one had promise.
It had promise, and I liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Yeah, it had promise.
And then everyone after that was like, every movie afterwards, they kept saying how great it was going to be, and it was horse shit. This will be great. It was horse shit. Genesis will be great. It was horse shit.
That was garbage.
The one
Dark Fate.
Dark Fate.
Yeah.
Horse shit.
Garbage.
The one that came out after that.
Was there another one after that?
Wasn't, which is the one where he's, is Genesis the one where with what's her name? Game of Thronesy.
Yeah, that's Genesis.
That's Genesis?
Yeah.
There was one after that.
That's Dark Fate.
Is that Dark Fate? Isn't there another one?
Yeah, the one that's supposed to be coming out soon.
Oh, so that's the next one coming up.
Yeah.
You keep lying to me.
Yeah.
They're all terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You either lie one way and I don't watch it or don't care for it and that turns out to be good, or you lie the other way, tell me how great it is and it turns out to be mediocre.
Yeah.
So I'm done with Terminator, man.
Yeah.
Stop making money off that thing. You're not making money off that thing.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you're just ending careers.
Okay, yeah. What's the deal here with these? I mean, I don't know enough about the way Hollywood works. What's the deal with this whole thing where you make a movie and then you can it and you get the tax benefit? Like the back.
That's about
deal.
It. Yeah. There's actually another story. Not to go off. I always do. Yeah. It's just force of habit.
Okay, it's good.
is that I'll put it in my pocket. Tom Cruise wants to limit the amount of like IMAX theaters that Oppenheimer's going to get, so his movie's going to be in more IMAX.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a petty move, man.
Yeah, that's pretty petty.
That's a petty move, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, so the two executives are like, that's not happening.
Yeah, that makes me not like you a little bit. That's the kind of thing, like, when Disney went after Quentin Tarantino there.
Yeah.
At the theater he wanted to show Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Oh, Hollywood. That's Chinese theater, right?
No, it's the other one. It's the man's Chinese theater is the big one. But he was going to do one that, I can't remember the name of it, but it's that pretty one.
Yeah.
The Disney features were in and all the old Hollywood movies played in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to have that playing there. And Disney was like, nah, we're going to show Mulan. It was something dumb. Like, we're going to show something dumb in there. And it wasn't nearly the movie that that Hollywood was.
Yeah.
So Tom Cruise, you gotta like, you know.
Well, the thing is,
don't do that.
That movie is going to make, because it's a two-parter, right? So it's not going to make as much money as the second one.
Mm-hmm.
The second one's going to be the last Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
So that one's going to make probably $1 billion. But this one is like, this movie's not going to be able to compete with Oppenheimer. I think, like, well, box office probably, but like, and because Oppenheimer has to is filmed with all these IMAX cameras, so
it's an IMAX movie.
You have to. I think it's going to take over. That movie's going to take over all the IMAX theaters in the United States. So,
I really want Oppenheimer to do well. I don't think it will be like that. That multi-millionaire, like, it won't do Avatar numbers.
Oh no, it won't.
Yeah, it's just a movie. It's just a really. It's okay.
It's a somber movie.
As much as people love Avatar, I've always said it's a nice tech demo for what we're going to get in the future. And I feel like Oppenheimer is also a tech demo, but also a really amazing story.
Yeah, like that's why I went to, that's why you went to go see Avatar. I went to go. It's like going to on a like going to an amusement park, but to only paying $7 and go to the theater. That's all it is.
Yeah. Whereas the Oppenheimer there is like an amusement park that you learn something at.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like going to a museum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Avatar is going to an amusement park, and Oppenheimer is going to a museum and an interesting museum. Like when you're a kid, and you go to the planetarium.
Yeah,
and you go back in the seat, they do the laser light show, and you see the planets and the stars. Then it all gets quiet, and then Led Zeppelin comes on. You lose your shit.
Yeah,
Led Zeppelin for the first time.
I tried reading American Prometheus. I could not read it.
It's so big.
It's too big. So I got the Audible for free.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, and so I got my last credit, and I'm starting to listen to that now. It's better. Because if I'm lying down and reading that book, I'm going to fall asleep.
Well, you're going to fall asleep, and it's going to choke you in your sleep.
Yeah, so...
It'll land in your throat, and you're going to wake up gagging.
Yeah, so everyone wants a copy of American Prometheus. They can read it.
That's a hefty bag.
It's like this thick.
It's big.
It's this thick, yeah. And it's small lettering.
I told you I tried reading the Churchill books.
Mm-hmm.
The Winston Churchill, all the books he wrote about World War II.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. It's interesting, like, when you get into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have to be in the right mindset to be like, you know what, I'm gonna go do it because I want to go do it. Not so much I'm gonna go do it because I think I should do it.
Yeah, I found a book for like $5 on the bombing of Dresden. Ooh. And I was like,
is it Slaughterhouse Five?
Yeah, it's I was reading it and I'm like, you know what, I'd rather just listen to the Audible. And I'm like, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's rough, man.
Yeah, and the Red
Bombing of Dresden is rough.
Yeah, and the Red Tsar, I was reading that.
Man, you're just going down like a depression path.
Yeah, it was. Stuff. Yeah, and then I was reading it. Then like about one third of the way through, I put the book down. I'm like, I can't read this. This is so disturbing.
It's Well, you know what? I think you should pick it up and read it again.
I was going to, but I just can't. And then I was like, I couldn't. And then I didn't know Elon Musk read that book, and he's like, even he couldn't even get through it. He's like, yo, this book is so awful.
Well, I think Elon Musk is he's a weirdo. So, but he's a good kind of weirdo.
Yeah,
so I don't think he can do it because he didn't do it.
Oh no, I just couldn't do it. It's so depressing. I'm like, I couldn't read. Like The Rape of Nanking was pretty bad too. But
that's rough.
Those are like, I'm like, I don't know why I'm reading these fucked up books.
There was a while there when I was kind of doing the same thing, where I got into like Nagasaki and learning about like Hiroshima and the bombing and Fat Man, Little Boy and what was going on. Grave of the Fireflies, great movie. If you haven't seen, if you want to learn more about like really dark stuff, a great place to start is probably Grave of the Fireflies.
I think the guy who wrote that anime he was there when it happened. Like he's a survivor of it.
So he, not the guy who wrote it, but one of the survivors of the actual incident.
Mm-hmm.
The story is based on a true story.
What's his name again?
I can't remember.
I think it's Takagawa.
But when he saw it.
I think that's what his name was, yeah.
Yeah, it might be.
I found this out yesterday.
Yeah. When he saw the movie, it's like he was saddened because he's like, I wish that the real ending was the movie ending, because he survived and it just got worse and worse and worse for him.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the characters in the movie died and were better off because of it.
Yeah.
Because what he saw afterwards is way worse.
Yeah.
When you think of like nukes were dropped on two. I mean, when I say effectively ended the war, the war carried on after the European theater.
Yeah.
And the Pacific Theater was just getting awful.
Just getting awful. Yeah.
And not just getting awful now, but it was just getting worse and worse.
No, because it was a war of attrition.
It really was. In layman's terms, right?
And then like the Western Front versus the Eastern Front, they'll argue like which one was more horrific and stuff like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, so. It really was getting worse and worse and worse. Until the nukes were dropped. And that's what Oppenheimer's gonna cover. Is the building of the two bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And it's just horrific. But then you watch Grave of the Fireflies and it's not just horrific, but it's like it's sad. It's just sad. Like it's just like it crushes your soul to think that humans could do that to each other.
Yep.
And like The Road. Like you watch The Road and you're like, oh my god. It's very close. Like there are a lot of analogies there too. Yep. Like it's The Road and those
I think The Road is more of like The Road is about what what humanity becomes when circumstances are at their lowest.
I think that
what we've been reduced to
absolutely happened in Japan. Mm-hmm. It definitely happened in Europe. And not like
not in the sense of like
anecdotally.
People weren't just eating each other.
No, they were. Literally, they were. They the whole them
all. Oh yeah, what am I talking? Yeah,
they literally were. I mean, there were signs up in the Ukraine, post World War II, that it's a sin to eat your children.
Yeah,
like Stalin is definitely not a hero of the Allied forces. Stalin was as bad as Hitler.
Yeah,
it just he had better PR.
Yeah,
that's it. Stalin just had better PR at the time. But Stalin is hated for a reason, man. He tried to starve out.
His numbers were higher than Hitler's.
They were huge, man. Yeah. I mean, you literally starved a population to death until they were eating their own family.
Mm-hmm.
That really happened.
Yep.
So like the horrors of war are they don't end when the guns stop firing and you sign a peace treaty. There's all this shit that goes on after. I've said it 1,000 times about the women in Germany. The men and the boys were dead, hung from streetlights, dead in front of them. And the women of Berlin and Germany rebuilt Germany.
Yep.
That's why they're tough as shit. I mean, wheelbarrows, hammers, axes, digging graves, the women.
Mm-hmm.
It's bananas. Like war. War, man. People are so bananas. Eager to... It's bananas. People are so eager to, like, you know, be these gravy seals and talk about, like, training and doing, like the January 6th shit and...
Yep.
All the crap that people think that is like going to make you some sort of like a hero to your country. You don't want war, man. It's like war is the last thing you want. You just reading about it. If you have a brain in your head, you're going to be like put off by it pretty fast.
That's what humanity is, though. We just go from one war to the next. That's all we do.
That's all we do, man.
Yep.
And then like you become you do distractions. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You cover up the trans kids in school and shit. How about you worry about all the kids who have like poor diets, poor education, and poor circumstances? It's like, instead of worrying about what 4 trans kids and a couple of drag queens are doing in the library, how about you worry about, the whole, the poverty, the third world country level poverty in America? But you gotta distract them. So you talk about the trans kids, so nobody thinks about that. Mm-hmm. Then nobody thinks about how much money you're sending to Ukraine or how much shit you're doing the rest of the world. The atrocities of both Bush administrations.
Yep.
Palestine. Yeah, nobody's gonna talk about the war crimes going on there. Let's not talk about any of that shit because we got a lot of money with everybody else and we're making a little bit of cheddar on the side.
You got me a little rant there, man.
You got me a little rant there.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's honestly, okay, I swear to God, that is my favorite part of the podcast.
The ranting?
The rants.
The impromptu rant.
Yeah, because the thing is, I was like this. I can just like go out of frame like this. I was
like, just let me kind of have a little moment. I was just kind of like just throw the, you know, the thing is like we don't talk about it here a lot because I kind of feel like there's a, like I've always said there's a hypocrisy there.
I know, but like my whole point is that my thing is like I can sense where like I can tell where it's kind of getting to you and you're just going.
Yeah, you know, but it just, you're right. It does get to me. It gets to me and it comes out because I keep hearing people talk about all the things that are going on in the world, but not trying to mitigate their place in it, right? They're not trying to mitigate their like complicit. Like their complicit actions, all these things that are going on. They ignore things by just like talking a big game, but like, you know, not buying recycled goods, buying a new phone every year, buying your EVs, doing all this shit that is just making the world worse for so many people. You've got the newest iPhone, and then the next year you'll get the newest iPhone again. Like you're hypocrites. You're all a bunch of hypocrites. We're all a bunch of hypocrites. So that's why I don't talk about it too much here. But at the same time, every now and then it just, like you said, just gets under your skin and it comes out.
That's okay.
How about your rants? You've got rants. You rant about things. I've heard you talk shit about the man.
For me, it's about more like it's people.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I hate everybody. So like, there's just, if I see it, like, I just like people who don't use their brains or just have no common sense. That makes me more mad than anything. And I just, it grinds my gears. And I'm just like, and I have to, and I'm thinking like when it happens to my, I'm vocal in that moment.
And I've watched it happen.
Yeah. And I'm like, I get so pissed off. And I'm like, what, like, how were you raised? Or like what the hell's wrong with you? And I'm like, it irritates me and that people just cannot use common sense. Especially like either when it's work related or personally related. I'm just like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, why don't you hold yourself to a higher standard?
Put that in your pocket.
Yeah. But why don't you just hold yourself to a higher standard? But so many people just refuse to do it. And they're just comfortable just being idiots. That irritates me so much. I've been guilty of it at some point in my life. I'm sure people will look at me and be like, what the fuck's wrong with you or whatever. But like, we've all been there. But it's like, just why don't people just try to do better? Like, just
be better. Yeah. In general. You're right. I mean, there's a complete lack of common sense. And when you're just trying to be better, when you're just trying to be a better example of who you are, yeah, and you're trying to be a better representation of who you think your tribe is, mm-hmm, and then you just see people not. You just see people deliberately not.
Or they're just reluctant to do it.
Yeah, reluctant too, because they're afraid they're going to hear something. They're going to get like some flack.
Oh, so again, they're going to get pissed off because someone disagrees with them. And they're going to be like, they're going to insult them for just for disagreeing with them. And I don't like it when I'm watching like, let's say I'm watching debates online. Mm-hmm. And some people are just saying that if they're losing the side of the debate or something like that, they'll use like, I remember when Jordan Peterson was arguing against this one black professor and the guy was calling him mean white man and colleagues kept saying the word bra and stuff like that. I'm like, you're in an actual debate.
Yeah, this is supposed to be.
I hate that. I'm like, that pissed me off so much. I'm like, if I saw that guy in the street and like, if I saw that guy in the elevator, I would seriously, I would punch him in the face.
Well, I wouldn't do that, but I'd let him know how disappointed I am in him.
Well, like verbally.
Verbally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's disappointing.
It's like, disappointing. I'm like, no, that's where we can make progress when it comes to like exchange of ideas, openly criticize ideas and stuff like that. And like, especially at the highest level where it's just not being done. And when it does, then when it rarely happens, nothing comes of it.
No. Yeah. It just fizzles out.
Yeah.
It's like the idea that we should disagree with people.
Yeah.
I can't agree with everybody all the time, but it doesn't mean that I have to bash their concept or hate their concept or spread hate about their concept or misrepresent what they're trying to say.
Or just meet with someone who you disagree with.
Right.
Who's on the other side.
Yeah.
And then come to consensus. Be like, you know what? I understand your point of view now.
Right.
I might not agree with it, but it's brought us closer together.
It happens.
And we can do this again.
We can do this sitting together and coming up with that. What was that? Who are the what's it called? The yearly meeting between Magneto and Professor X.
Yeah.
They're never going to agree.
No.
They're never going to agree, but they always get together.
Unless it's House of X.
Unless it's House of X, in which case, kill Wanda.
Yeah.
Well, House of M. House of M, we gotta take Wanda out.
Yeah.
But they always meet, and they always sit there and have their chess game, mm-hmm, and they'll always talk about, like, hey, man, I totally understand that you want to kill all humans. And he's like, I totally get that you want more mutants with peace. It is very, like, Malcolm X, MLK, right? But at the same time, they walk away from that every year, agreeing to meet. Every year, we're going to come back together.
Yep.
1 year from today, we're going to come back here and have our chess game.
Yep.
But, you know, we're not going to try to kill each other.
Nope.
We're just going to have, like, a healthy conversation. And one of us might walk away better for it. Both of us might walk away better for it.
Yeah.
But, like, everybody should do that.
Yeah, but
everybody should.
The most important thing is to keep the conversation going.
Yeah. That's a great... You know what? I think that's a amazing spot to end.
I think that's the name of the podcast.
Keep the conversation going. Title of this episode. I'm glad you did this. I think after 200 episodes, mm-hmm, that might be the first time you've tagged the title. Usually I'm the guy.
At the very end.
At the very end. Oh, here's a 200 more, buddy.
Yeah.
Was that the, was that Macho Man and Hogan? Or was that,
No, if it was Macho Man and Hogan, we'd stop here.
Stop there because the power
is
too much.
Yeah, the robot exploded.
But if it's Arnold and Carl Weathers,
yeah, it's like this.
Got like power flex.
Yeah, but you mean Arnold?
I wouldn't be. That's my bad arm. That's literally bad arm.
Even your bad arm could destroy my left. My,
it really
my
good arm. You're a cyclist. You've got that cyclist grip.
Maybe, but like,
that's true.
I'm still pushing too many pencils.
What's pushing too many pencils? What's the matter? He's always selling himself short. I'll say it 1,000 times. One of the most surprising things for me ever. I can do lunges all day. Bodyweight lunges. I'll do 2,000, no problem. Just walking. And we got on the bikes the first time, and you were fucking gone. Like, you were just so far down the road. Actually, like a blip. I should have had radar, because you were just a speck in the horizon.
Actually, I'll be honest with you. Like, we went biking. Last time we went biking with Jason. Jason's the strongest biker I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's the strongest biker I know. And we were biking, and then at the tail end of our ride, we were biking by... On Windermere Boulevard, by there, and it was a red light, and they would turn green. I just accelerated. I just took off, and then Jason's like, he goes, "Where the?" He goes, "How the hell did you accelerate that fast?" Right? I'm like, "Jason, flat level is my speed.
Okay? That's where I go, baby.
That's my thing." when it comes to inclines, there's a reason why you're still going and I'm walking my bike up the hill.
It's insane, man. Yeah. It's amazing, like, when you think that you're in really good shape.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know,
you have, but you don't have technique.
You don't have technique. Yeah. It's like for me, like inclines are impossible. Like, I have to stand up, put on the lowest gear, and just, like, slowly grind. And I hate them because, like, you just have to, like, when you're doing inclines, especially with running, if you're going up and biking, you have to look up. Do not look down straight up thing, because you're going to have a defeatist attitude as soon as you look at it.
The second you start to realize, I want to tell a little story here about two fellas who went to Thailand for a wedding, for another fella's wedding, with another fella who was there, but two fellas. So myself and Handsome Dan, we were, made a pretty good dent in the water. Myself and Handsome Dan were walking up this hill after having talked an immense amount of shit about two more friends who had walked up that hill the night before. So we're walking up this hill, and we realize that after, you know, trashing our other buddies for having a hard time getting up there, that we were now almost horizontal. Mm-hmm. Well, like, I mean, the hill was here, and we were walking at an angle. And don't look at your feet. Like, you have to kind of keep looking up, because the second you look down, you realize how, like, steep of an angle you're on.
Yeah.
And that you might as well be using your hands and crawling up the hill.
Pretty much.
And then it just crushes you emotionally.
It does. Yeah.
We stopped talking shit that day.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last day that I talked shit about somebody walking uphill.
Yeah, I didn't know that's actually the best way thing to do, because you are, like, instead of going like this, your shoulders are back and you're looking yep. up like that. Because my cousin, he was
squats, right?
Pretty much, exactly. Yeah.
Don't look down.
Yeah, because my cousin, remember talking about cousin Ryan who has the coffee business?
Yeah,
so like he gets all of his coffee from Nicaragua, and like he goes there and there's volcanoes there, and when he climbs the volcanoes, he's like, yeah, he goes, you have to look up, and he's like, look what you're going, but he's like, you have to keep looking up like that. And I was like, because if you don't, he goes, you're never gonna make it. That's what I learned.
I think we're gonna do a new thing, not to interrupt that, but we're gonna just keep on talking while the music is playing, so
plays up. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I was like, yeah, let's bang this.